Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Big Joe Dubin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, I do want to get to Devin from Dover's text. Says, as a lifelong Tennessee fan, I'm expecting disappointment. I hope that's not the case and they prove me wrong.
Nice.
Maybe well that's done. The best way to go into the season.
Yeah, because it always happens. I've heard you on the show, especially last fall when Tennessee would lose a game, something go wrong. Like, hey, Tennessee fan, that's what we expect. Yeah. What goes on. By the way, we're streaming this, correct, right?
Correct.
And I was just watching it, and I think, and I'm pretty positive about this, that I have the worst posture of any man on planet Earth. This is just awful, watching how I sit. So thank you.
But you're a broadcasting professional, for God's sake. I think you have great posture.
But thank you to whoever who sponsors the streaming line. Who is it?
The law offices of Amanda Gentry.
So Amanda, thank you, because now I realize how awful I look slouched over, so I'll do my best to sit straight up.
Well, the microphone's not making that easy for you.
It's not either. Damn you, Chase McCabe. Get in here and fix this microphone. That's what's going on. So I feel better. So the stream thing is just weird watching me, my posture. I'm trying to sit up now. Okay, we're better now.
Oh, you looking sharp.
Looking there. Mighty skinny. You love it.
Oh, yeah. Looking great. Terrible. Over there. So we'll have Eric Erlandson coming up at 7:30, who covers the Tampa Bay Lightning for LightningInsider.com. We'll get his thoughts on Ryan McDonagh and exactly what the Predators are getting with that defenseman coming in. Later at 7:30 here today on the show. There is a Preds question that I want to ask you that's not just kind of a Preds question, but a general sports fan question.
Love it.
And it's kind of the dilemma the Predators find themselves in right now. And I think it got made more interesting the other day with the Ryan McDonagh trade. And that's the idea of, should you go for it and try to win and try to compete for a championship, or should you not? And the idea of knowing what the time is right to do both. So we've seen teams a lot in sports, whether it's the NFL, NBA, NHL, you name it. Sometimes you have to go through a downturn to get back up to the place where you can compete for a championship. The Colorado Avalanche, a pretty good example of that. They were awful for a few years. They got Nathan McKinnon. They got Cale Makar. They got Gabriel Landeskog. They got Mikko Rantanen. And now all of a sudden, they're a dominant team and just won the Stanley Cup. The Predators, to their credit, haven't been bad in a long time. They were bad in 2013. That's as bad as they've been in a while. They had the fourth pick in the draft. They got Seth Jones. Other than that, they've been a playoff team pretty much every year since that. And there's something to be said for that. The ownership has made it pretty clear that making the playoffs is important to them, not only from a competitive standpoint, but from a business standpoint as well. And the question that a lot of Predators fans have is, well, that's great, but are you ever going to be better than just making the playoffs? Like, are you going to be able to actually compete and win a Stanley Cup? They've gotten past the second round of the playoffs one time in the history of their franchise. So they're in an interesting spot right now from the standpoint of, you bring in Ryan McDonagh. That kind of feels like a go-for-it-right-now move. We'll see what happens with Philip Forsberg. But if he re-signs, I mean, this is definitely, to me, going to be a playoff team. My question for you is, as a fan, do you prefer the consistency of making the playoffs every year and giving yourself a chance, or would you rather see your team maybe go through some lean years, ultimately to try to get back up to the place where you're competing for a title?
I want to win now. I want to go to the playoffs every single year. I want to go to the playoffs, because if you don't get the playoffs, you can't win championships. And you're not guaranteed anything in the draft. Yeah, I mean,
especially in this sport.
Yeah, and I go, you know, I don't know the NHL draft, anything, but I know the NFL draft. I mean, there's guys you take, where'd Brady go, fifth or sixth round? I mean, you look at the guys who went in that draft before him at quarterback, it doesn't work out that way. I like winning now. I just think you get to the playoffs, you build that experience, and you go on and go on. You look at this Preds team from last year, they made the playoffs. Colorado swept them, that's, you know, they won the Stanley Cup. That kind of looks okay. I mean, you got swept, doesn't look great, but I think winning and going to the playoffs every year helps. And the fact, I love it, don't go to the playoffs and watch the fans melt down.
Well, that's the thing, because I think in the NFL, look, the NFL makes so much money off the TV part of their deals that, I mean, you could not show up to an NFL game, and does it really hurt the owner's bottom line that much? Not really. Now, would they like for the seats to be full? Yeah. And does it help when there's, you know, the stadium sold out? Of course it does. But the NFL, financially, is in great shape. You know, the NHL just had their best financial season in the history of the sport, but it's still not the same. Like, you need a lot of your money from your ownership group, and what you use is your gate and how many people show up to games and how many people are invested in your product at the arena. And, you know, the idea, and we've talked about this, the idea of tanking, for lack of a better term, and trying to find a generational talent that ultimately leads you back to where you want to be, competing for Stanley Cups. Number one, it's not guaranteed that you're going to find that guy, and then you could get stuck in a cycle like the Buffalo Sabres, where you just never get out of being awful.
Well, who's to blame for that?
Well, they've been poorly run, and they drafted poorly. That's the other thing. Like, it's one thing to be bad. You also have to make the right decisions when you're bad to stop being bad anymore. Like,
does the same apply for the Blackhawks? I mean, they're a legendary franchise. They've been awful.
They're in that cycle right now of, you know, obviously you would take the three Stanley Cups they won if you were the Predators, but now you're in a cycle where you're trying to get out of it, and there's really no end in sight at the moment. So, I mean, I say all that to say is, like, if you told me that it would go precisely this way, and the Predators, let's say they were really bad for the next 3 years, and then they pulled themselves out of it, and 6 years from now they won a Stanley Cup, I'd say, well, sure, go through it. But that's a very hard thing to do that way.
Plus, I'm looking at the Stanley Cup winners. I mean, it's tough to win.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's been some with Tampa Bay did their thing, and the Penguins did their thing, and Chicago. Well, that's three out of, 28, 30 teams in NHL that have done that. But you talk about Buffalo. Where are the Red Wings?
Yeah.
Weren't they supposed to be good at some point?
Well, they're stuck in purgatory right now. I mean, they've been rebuilding since 2016.
So you look at the Predators. All right, so now they've got guys that came up last year that made the playoffs and see what it took, and down that, you know, last part of March and April to win games and go out there. I mean, you can't teach that stuff to get out there and win those things.
Yeah.
And you go back to the team in 17 when they squeaked in the playoffs, had that great run. And I know that, you know, people are still like, well, that's been now 5 years ago. And I get all that. But at the same time, you got guys who had never done anything. Like, what happened to the Goudreau guy?
He's in Minnesota now.
Why was he not? Did he fall out of favor here in Nashville? What's his first name?
Frederick.
Yep. Okay.
He was kind of like a fourth line player here. And then he stuck around a couple years after, and then they really didn't have a spot for him, and now he's in Minnesota. He wasn't very good the last couple of years, and then this past year he was really good.
How does it happen? You show up in the Stanley Cup final, you do really great, and then it's like, we're good.
I've never seen anything quite like that one.
That's crazy.
It was crazy the way that all played out.
Yeah, but I think to your question again, I think it's if you make the playoffs and you keep building something year after year, because you're not guaranteed anything in the draft. Now, some will come and say, well, look what, you know, Sidney Crosby, you know, he was drafted. And guys like that, and I understand all that, but it's few and far between, man. Well, it's few and far between.
And I've said this a lot. It's not just about, if you're going to go that route, it's not just about being bad. Like, it's timing up when you're bad. Like,
yeah,
not all right. First overall picks are created equal. Like, you know, some picks are Peyton Manning and others are, you know, Jamarcus Russell. It's not quite the same thing.
You're right. You know, I spoke to a guy. There was the Peyton Manning event last week that I was able to host. A lot of fun, humble brag. And there was a guy I was talking there was on the staff of the Chargers in 98 when it was Manning and Leaf.
Yep.
And I said, what was that like? He's like, we were so hoping the Colts would have taken Ryan Leaf. Because people think, you know, Indianapolis was really, they already had their mindset, because it was like 50-50.
Yeah.
And we were so hoping. Because can you imagine how the trajectory of a franchise is changed? Had the Colts taken Ryan Leaf, Manning had fallen to the Chargers. And I said, my mind cannot process that, what goes on. So it's all about the moment, what happens. And as Lou Holtz said, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way in building a team.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. We'll take your thoughts. Would you rather see your team go for it every year, or would you rather them cycle down in hopes of finding their way back to competing for a championship? Already some thoughts on the text line. We'll get to those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Big Joe Dubin from Main Street, Nashville.
Hey, buddy.
Michelle Knezovic here with us, intern Hanley as well.
All right, so Robbie, I want to do this with you, and I love the trivia and recalling things. So okay. You say you could go back to, let's say, to 99 with Stanley Cup winners, okay?
I think I can do it.
Let's. By the way, this cup named after your family,
it
the
is.
Stanley Cup.
So long tradition.
Yes. So the fact that you should know this because of the family connection to the Stanley Cup. All right, let's start with the most recent. Who won it last year?
As in like 2021?
2021.
2021 was the Tampa Bay Lightning.
2020.
Lightning.
2019.
Blues.
2018.
Capitals.
2017.
Penguins.
2016.
Penguins.
2015.
2015 was the Blackhawks.
Nice. 2014.
Kings.
2013.
Blackhawks.
Man. 2012.
Kings.
2011.
2011 was Boston.
Yes. 2010.
Blackhawks.
2009.
2009 was, give me a second. Why am I blanking on 2009? It was the Penguins.
That a boy.
Yep.
2008.
Red Wings.
Man, 2007.
Ducks.
2006.
Hurricanes.
We'll skip 05 because of the lockout. Yep. 04.
Lightning.
God. 2003.
Devils.
Devils won a Stanley Cup. All right. 2002.
2002. Red Wings.
2001.
Avalanche.
All right. 2000.
Devils.
Let's keep going this thing. 99, who won the Stanley Cup?
Stars.
98.
Red Wings.
97.
Red Wings.
96.
Avalanche.
95.
95 is where I drop off.
Robbie!
It's amazing. The Stanley Cup.
95. Who was in 95? Was it the Penguins?
No.
It was not. That was early 90s.
Wah, wah, wah.
I couldn't remember 95.
The Devils.
Devils again. I thought they were 94.
I remember that. The Devils was the talk that year of they wanted a new arena.
Yeah.
They threw out Nashville.
They did.
And the Municipal Auditorium was thrown out there as well. And it wasn't.
It was.
They'd have to shorten the ice a little bit. And yeah. I was like, man, if they get a new ring in our new rink in New Jersey because they threatened to move to the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, that's a heck of a job doing that. But, of course, you know 94.
94 was that? No, 93 was Canadians. Who was 94? I'm trying to think back. I thought it was the Devils.
Here, 94, here's your clue. O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It was the Rangers.
Attaboy.
Yeah, that's right.
Because wasn't something going on, like a parade when the same time all that was going
down?
Could
have been a chase
that's really,
taking place as well.
That's really good.
White Bronco.
Man. That's really good. That was the
I have, like I said yesterday on the show, I have a ton of useless sports knowledge.
That's pretty good. Anytime I get the I need a lifeline when I'm on Jeopardy or whatever show it is for Stanley Cup and NHL, I'll make sure and give you a call then. You come in and help me out and win those things.
Dave in Big Rock texting in says, "This is 500 land, baby. You can't teach getting swept in the first round." I take it Dave is not a big fan of the Predators' current strategy of making the playoffs every year.
Right. But then you talk earlier, you fall in that cycle where you don't make it for five, six. I mean, the Sabres is a good point. I mean, the Sabres and the Minnesota Timberwolves are teams that you just don't hear about, you know? Yeah. I mean, throughout sports. And I'm talking NFL a team. To me, the Vikings are the same way. I mean, it's like, it's got a nice little tradition from 40, 50 years ago, but they're not really going to do anything. Yeah, it's the Vikings. You know, it's just kind of these teams you don't talk about.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Hawks. You know, you hear that and like, this is this franchise that are kind of stuck in this little round and around and around and around. I like making the playoffs because you never.
I mean, we could go to the extreme of the Detroit Lions who never find their way out of anything.
But they get talked about.
They do get talked about.
Because they're so bad. And, you know, and I know Rex Road talks about them all the time.
Yeah.
You figure a guy segment. Like Rex Road would follow the Lions. That all makes perfect sense. So let me ask you this. What was the guy's name who said he didn't like the Preds' current?
David Big Rock.
All right. So, Dave, so let's go back. 2017, the Preds didn't really blow the world away in the regular season.
Nope.
Remember, they barely made it in. And if you rank teams 1 through 16, weren't they 16th?
Yep.
I remember talking to you at the Satilla Sportsplex. I was like, God, four, they're going to get swept. The Preds, they're just not going to get. We were like, yeah. No. And so those who say, like Stillman's like, I knew they were going to win. You did not. For those who thought the Preds were going to sweep that series and then go on, nobody saw that coming.
Yeah.
But you had to make the playoffs in order to do that. So anything can happen in the playoffs. I mean, anything can happen.
Well, especially in this sport. Now, I've said this. Like, I don't believe the roster as currently constructed is good enough to compete with the Colorados and the Tampa Bays and the St. Louis's, the elite teams in the NHL. Now, you've got a goalie that you feel great about. But the move they made the other day with Ryan McDonagh signals to me that they're ready to, I don't know if go for it fully. Like, I don't think they're going to start selling off pieces and trading first-round picks or whatever to go, you know, acquire assets that way. But they feel like they're a playoff team, and they're trying to win right now. And Philip Forsberg is a part of that, and we'll see what happens on that front. It's just, it's an interesting case study because I do, part of me does understand if you're a fan that has watch this team for a while, or any team, and you don't have the ultimate prize at the end of it, you haven't won a championship, you're like, I will do whatever it takes to win a championship. If that means that they've got to be terrible for 5 years and then they come out of and win a championship, that's great. Like, I understand that thought process, but the question is always, or all right, what about in year three of that process when things aren't going well? Are you still going to the games?
Exactly.
Do you still care as much as you care right now? Like, those are all, especially in leagues that are not the National Football League, those are all questions that are important to answer.
I totally agree with you 100%. And you talk, just don't make the playoffs for those years and see what happens. I mean, and nobody is happy. Winning solves everything.
Sure.
Winning cures everything. And we saw it, again, we go back to 2014 when the Vols come off that bad stretch. They go down to the Jacksonville, whatever bowl it is down there, the Gator Bowl, whatever they call it now, Tax Slayer Bowl. And, you know, and Tennessee punches Iowa, and people are feeling good. The next year they go to the Outback Bowl, and they beat Northwestern and things like winning does so well. I mean, 2017, the Preds with that run. Look at the Titans. The Titans are a great example of this. People don't remember 2010 and 2011 and 2012 and 2013.
Ken Whisenhunt.
How bad that team was in 2014 and 15.
Golly.
Then John Robson gets here and they change the culture. They start bringing some guys in there. They did some okay drafts in the back end of the drafts. And they start winning. I mean, the Titans in 2017 go to Kansas City and beat them. Remember, the thing about the Titans was they had not won a playoff game on the road in like 14 years.
Yeah.
And they go to Kansas City. They beat, you know, they knock out. Remember that hit? Who hit Kelsey in that game that knocked him out for the Titans?
Who was that? I don't remember off the top of my head.
And Kelsey, I mean, they just came in.
I mean, the game totally changed after that.
They punished the Chiefs in the second half.
Yeah.
Punished them. But winning does so much great things. And then you look at the run they had in 2019 of getting all the way to the AFC Championship game. So, yeah, you got to get to the playoffs to do all that stuff. Hey, can you do NBA?
Maybe.
I'm tapping the wonderful, wonderful mind of Robbie Stanley now. Who won it in 2021, NBA?
NBA in 2021 was the Bucks.
Attaboy.
Yep.
We'll skip the COVID bubble year. That's the Lakers won that. 2019, who won?
Raptors.
My man. 2018.
Warriors.
2017.
Warriors.
2016.
Cavs.
2015.
Warriors.
Yes. 2014.
Spurs.
My man. You should get this one. 2013.
Heat.
2012.
Heat.
2011.
Mavs. That one still stinks.
They beat the Heat.
Yeah.
2010.
Lakers.
2009.
Lakers.
2008.
Celtics.
2007.
Spurs.
Yes. You should get this one too. 2006.
Heat.
2005.
Spurs.
If you get this one, I'm turning my computer off. 2004.
Pistons.
Oh, I'm out of here. Michelle, get in here and take over. That's all right, can you 2003?
03 was Lakers.
Nah, Spurs.
No, nah, it was Spurs. You're right.
But Lakers won three Lakers before won that.
2001-02.
Yeah, that's they had the three-peat. Yep. Yeah. Oh, 2001, you're right, and 01 and 02. That's pretty good, Robbie.
Use the sports knowledge.
I don't
I've got
care.
It.
That's still good to have. What I'm looking at this, though, the Spurs, man, they're vastly underrated. They don't get talked about enough.
Yeah, those homegrown guys.
Two, three, four,
he five. Won
five titles. Yeah. Good Lord.
Oh, well. Down there.
Yeah, nice. See, they drafted well.
Exactly.
Tim Duncan, you know, David Robinson before that, yeah. And other guys.
That's right. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Eric Erlandson from LightningInsider.com. We'll break down exactly what the Predators are getting in their newest player in Ryan McDonagh. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Dubin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Eric Erlandson from LightningInsider.com. Eric, what's going on? How are we doing today?
I am good, gentlemen. Good morning. How's my favorite music city, Nashville?
It is amazing. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. A little hot. Heat index is going to be about, I don't know, 110 today, but we're used to it at this point, so.
Yes.
It'll be a little warm today, no question about it. Eric, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, obviously, a big move over the weekend. Ryan McDonagh coming from the Tampa Bay Lightning to the Nashville Predators. What can Predators fans expect from him? What sort of a player are the Predators getting in Ryan McDonagh at this stage of his career?
He is as professional as they come. He's going to eat big minutes. He's going to block a lot of shots. He's going to kill a lot of penalties. He's going to take on a lot of the defensive assignments. And, you know, even at, you know, where he's at in his career, you know, he just became the all-time shot block leader in NHL postseason history. You know, last year, he was, like, I had a Conn Smythe vote last year. He was third on my ballot. That's how good he was in the postseason run for Tampa Bay and blocking shots and setting up plays. He had some huge moments in the postseason, including, you know, helping be a factor in the only goal that Tampa Bay scored in the semifinal flash conference final round against the Islanders with a blocked shot, and he was the one who got the puck up the ice, and Yanni Gourde ended up scoring the shorthanded goal. So he's going to do a lot of things that might not jump out at you. They're not going to flash out, you know, onto the screen that he's going to do. But he's going to eat a lot of very high energy minutes, high quality minutes against the other team's top line, and he is as good as they come when it comes to all those elements that maybe don't jump out off you on the score sheet.
So, Eric, how did this trade come about? I mean, obviously Tampa is trying to keep this thing rolling, and you know, salary cap is, you know, is an issue that they're going to have to solve. You get McDonagh out of the way there, but he did have a no movement clause. How exactly did this all come to fruition, do you think?
Well, you know, he had a full no-trade clause in his contract, which means he had to approve any deal, you know, so that the team will come to him and say, hey, we have to do this. You know, unfortunately, we have to look at moving you, so give us a list of teams that you might be willing to accept a trade to. And, you know, that's not unusual. The Lightning had to do this last year with Tyler Johnson, who's still under contract and still a pretty productive player for them at the time. And the salary cap is going to be an issue for this team, you know, for the foreseeable future. So not only do they help clear out some of the cap space this year, but Lightning actually have a bigger issue next year when guys like Mikhail Sergachev and Eric Chernak and Anthony Cirelli and those type of guys are up for new contracts because they'll all be restricted free agents next year. So, you know, it's cap gymnastics at its best. And sometimes you have to identify players that you do not want to part ways with, but you know in the long run it's going to happen at some point. So if it has to happen, you might as well take care of it now.
So, Eric, to that point, I mean, obviously Predators fans are really excited to have Ryan McDonagh joining the team. He is 33 years old with 4 years remaining on his contract. So I guess if you're a Predators fan out there, how much concern should you have for maybe the back part of that deal of, with the amount of mileage that he has on his body and the way that he plays the game, Should there be concern? Would you be concerned? How do you kind of view the contract that he brings to the table?
Well, you know, it is always a concern for sure when you're talking about players who have logged the amount of games. I mean, no player in the league since he came in, I think, has played more games than Ryan McDonough because he's never missed a playoff.
Yeah.
And he's had deep runs. You know, you think about the 14 run with the Rangers and, you know, 15, they make it to the conference finals. He shows up in Tampa Bay. You know, they win a couple of Stanley Cups. They go to a couple of conference finals, another Stanley Cup final. So, yeah, there's certainly mileage. And, you know, the way he plays the game and the number of shots that he ends up blocking and all those other things that he brings to the ice, yeah, you have to think about it. You know, but at the end of the day, you're getting a high-quality player who maybe by year four of that contract maybe is not going to be the same type of player. The thing you always look for with players like him is where is his skating, you know, because that's the biggest issue. The bumps and the bruises, those are always going to take a toll on players, but he hasn't had the wear and tear to the point where he's been injured all the time, right? Like, he doesn't miss a ton of time because of injuries. Yes, he plays the game hard. It's hard minutes that he plays. You know, he was playing 26, 27 minutes a night for the Rangers, was more in the 21 to 22 range for the most part during his time with Tampa Bay. But he can still skate, and that's the biggest thing you look for players like that are still at that point in their career. Can he still get up and down the ice? And Ryan McDonough can still get up and down the ice.
Eric Erlandson from LightningInsider.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. So, Eric, obviously you got a pretty up-close and personal view of the Colorado Avalanche and their run to the Stanley Cup Championship. Predators fans know that all too well. They were swept by the Avalanche in the first round. What did you make of that series between Colorado and Tampa Bay, and just how dominant was that Colorado team from your vantage point?
Well, the biggest dominant game they had was in game two, obviously, of the Cup Final, that 7-0 game where the Lightning had nothing. They had no legs. And the, you know, the altitude, I'm sure, caught up with them, having been there for 4 or 5 days at that point. But, you know, there were two overtime games. Game six was a 2-1 game. The Lightning won game five was a one-goal game. Like, it was a close series. I would have really liked to have seen how Tampa Bay would have performed in that series with Braden Point. You have to think that the guy who led the league in playoff goals each of the previous 2 years might have made a difference in one of those one-goal losses. I mean, the three of the four losses Tampa Bay suffered were one-goal games. Two of them were overtime. But Colorado's so worthy of it, you know, with McKinnon and Nikushkin and Landeskog and Rantanen. I mean, they were McCarr and McKinnon get so much of the headlines on that team, and it's well-deserved because of the type of players they are. But that team was deep. And it was that depth that ended up being a difference for Colorado in that series against Tampa Bay because, for the most part, they kept McKinnon pretty quiet. You know, he had two goals, obviously a big one in game six that tied the game 1-1 at that point. But, you know, that was his only goal other than the one that went off the back of his skate. Cale Makar didn't have an eruptive-type series. He had the big game in game two. Other than that, they kept things in check. So it was the depth players that ended up being a difference for Colorado. And I feel that if the Lightning could have gotten more opportunities to shoot the puck and get in for rebounds, they were there against Darcy Kuemper. Right? I think that was the biggest difference that could have been in the series was the goaltending. I don't think the Lightning got to Kuemper enough, especially in Game 6 after getting that opening goal, to put enough pressure on him.
Eric, so with Ryan McDonough coming to Nashville, obviously there's some salary cap space now freed up for Tampa Bay. They've already re-signed Nick Paul. How do you foresee the Andre Palat situation playing out, who is scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent on July 13th?
Yeah, that's the big one, right? Because he led the team in goals during the postseason, had some huge moments, the game winner in game five, the game winner in game three against the Rangers in the conference final that prevented them from going down 3-0 in that series. He's the big one, right? $5.3 million cap hit he had. He's coming off his current contract. If they can get him under that number, I think they're doing well. But he's such a vital part. You want to talk about under-talked about or underappreciated players on Tampa Bay, he's always in the middle of great lines, whether it's when he was with Nikita Kucherov and Tyler Johnson, that triplets line back in 2015, whether it was playing with Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point the previous two postseasons, and even with Stamkos, Kucherov this year, he's the guy he's the third guy on every line he's on, but he might be the most important guy on every line he's on because of how he plays the game and winning the battles, getting to areas of the ice. He's always in good position defensively. So if they can get him under $5 million, I think that's going to help them. I think they'd like to go lower if they can. I don't know if that's going to be possible. The question with me, just as we talked about with Madonna's contract, what's the term going to look like? I don't think you want to sign an Andre Palat to a seven-year deal as they did with Nick Paul. You know, he's a few years older than Nick Paul. You can keep that, you know, 3, 4, 5 years maximum for an Andre Palat. I think that's ideal of what you would want to do if you're doing Breezeball to get Andre Palat back in, because he wants to stay. They want him, and usually when that happens, you can find common ground pretty quickly.
Eric Erlandson on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Eric, last thing for you here. I'm interested from your take on this, because I've said on this show before, like, what the Lightning have done to me is one of the greatest runs in the history of the National Hockey League. When you factor in COVID and everything that goes along with it, you win two cups in a row, you get back to another one this past season. And I'm not saying that their run is over. They've been to 6 conference finals in the last 8 years. But how do you kind of put into words this 3-year stretch and where that ranks in the NHL and the salary cap era, everything taken into account that way?
It's certainly the best run of the cap era, there's no doubt. And I think when you kind of put it into historical perspective, it's almost dynasty-like. And I know there'll be plenty of debates whether it's a dynasty or not. It's not the Islanders, who went to 5 straight Stanley Cups, won 4 of them. It's not that on that level, but it's not far off. I mean, they're only the 3rd team in NHL playoff history to win 11 straight playoff series. And to do that in the cap era, to do that in the amount of games that they've played in a short period of time, because if you go back to August of 2020 when the playoff bubble started until they lost Game 6 against Colorado, the Cup Final, it's about 680 days, give or take. And even with the offseason, that averaged about one game every 3.75 days.
Jeez.
And to kind of put that, you know, that kind of a run into perspective, yeah, they only had the one full 82-game season this year, but 56 games. They won the two cups in 282 days. That's less than a calendar year. It's going to be talked about down the line as one of the greatest runs, and certainly in modern NHL history, if not in NHL history, period, just because of what they were able to accomplish. And in a league of parity and in the salary cap era, and not just salary cap era, flat cap. Right, they didn't have the ability to go out and sign, you know, to fill holes. They had to go out and get in the Corey Perrys at $1 million or Pierre-Edouard Belmar at $1 million contract. They couldn't go out and get big names to fill holes. They had to do small holes. And under that context, it is going to be one of the greatest runs that we've ever seen in NHL playoff history. And you're right, it's not over, because this core is still together. And the big difference is you've got Andre Vasilevsky in net, and if you've got that guy in net, you've got a good chance at anything.
Yep, no question about it. Eric, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Eric Erlandson from LightningInsider.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Here comes the sun. And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. My venting session with Joe Dubin.
Yeah.
You're like a therapist for me.
I'm excited to hear this, because I've heard Rex Rhodes rants, which aren't really rants. It's more of a nuisance. I'm excited to hear yours.
All right. So I may have talked about this before. Honestly, I can't remember. But if I have, it bears repeating at this point. Okay. I feel like I've always got to give like some sort of disclaimer. So I guess I'll get this out of the way now. I have a lot of respect for waiters and waitresses and the jobs that they do, knowing full well that, quite frankly, I have a patience level that would not allow me to do a job like that.
Right.
And a customer service toleration that would also not allow me to do a job like that. So I fully respect the job that they do. You'll never see me complaining to a waiter or waitress just because I don't really mess with people who mess with my food.
Okay,
so
smart.
That's kind of like my life strategy that I go by. But I will say this. There is one part of waiters and waitresses and the job that they do that it does bother me, but it's more just like I can't really understand it. And that is when they come out there and they don't write anything down.
Yes.
Like they're trying to remember a party of six and every one of their orders in their head. And I'm like, okay, let's go through this for a second. Number one, by and large, when you have a group of four people or more, at least one person on that group is going to be very difficult with their order.
Correct.
They're going to have substitutions. Yeah. They're going to have all these different things going on. Trying to keep up with that in your head when you got 9-10 tables that you're working with.
Right.
Like I just don't understand. It boggles my mind when somebody's taking my order and they don't write anything down. I'm like, how are you going to remember this?
And then you ask them, are you writing it down? And they get all kind of snarky with you.
Yeah.
Like, I'll remember it. I'm like, okay.
It's like, well, I have experience that tells me otherwise, that you will not remember. Well, that's kind of my plea out there. Like, maybe some people just remember things better when they go by straight up memory and not writing them down. I've yet to see this happen very effectively with a waiter or waitress at this point. Just take the notepad. Take your pen.
Right.
I am that waitress.
We won't judge you.
Just write it down. That's all you got to do. And that way, at least if it gets screwed up at that point, I know that you've written it down.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the kitchen's fault, whatever it may be. But I will say, you know, everybody calls people Karens now. Like the Karen moments that I have in my head that I never really act on is when I give my order. The person does not write it down, and it comes back, and like two things on there are just totally screwed up. I'm like, man.
Love it.
All we had to do was write things down. We could have avoided this. Very well could have happened. So all I'm saying is you're not impressing me by trying to memorize things right off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just take the extra 5 seconds, write it down, and who knows? Maybe we could avoid some of these problems.
That is a great it's kind of like kind of get off my lawn thing. A little bit like that.
Yeah.
My thing is at red lights when you're on your phone, like when it turns green, I mean I'm honking within a second. Get going.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. And they're on their phone and they honk at them and they flip me off. That it's my fault that you've waited 8 seconds at a red light now that you haven't gone because you're on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Look, and I get all that stuff. And by the way, they passed all these laws. I think I read somewhere that last year Tennessee wrote, I don't know how many thousands of hands-free tickets in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's never going to stop.
No.
Go down the road. I mean, it's very obvious.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Very obvious. And I wrote this a few weeks ago. Another rant with mine is people that drive with their dogs on their laps, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop driving with the dog on your lap.
I have been guilty of this.
Okay, I'm going to write you a ticket. Stop it. It's okay if you're on your gator on your farm riding around. I get that. But I was going to work one day down 40 going towards Lebanon, and there was a lady in the – and I like to get to the third lane, not the fast lane. But there's a traffic, so I get into the fast lane. I get behind this lady who's going like 60 in the fast lane. So I'm irate. So I go to pass her and give her a piece of my mind because I'm a tough guy. Just to see what's going on up there, and she's driving the dogs in the front seat with her. And I'm like, you're in the fast lane on the interstate going 60 with your dog in your lap on the right in front of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So what? My thing is, what happens if you have to stop suddenly?
That dog's
flying through the windshield. Nobody wins in that. So stop driving the dog in your lap. I'm disappointing you, Robbie Stanley. This should not have happened.
My dog's like 10 pounds. She won't ride anywhere else other than in your lap. She just won't do it.
Well, then I'd put her in timeout.
Well, maybe so.
Shove her in the back. So here's where you're going.
That's when we move forward. So,
yeah, but I'm with you. The waiter thing, yeah, that's a great one.
So, Michelle, you are the waitress that doesn't write things down.
I don't write things down.
Oh, boy.
Well, okay, in my defense, I sometimes do.
Okay.
Like, if I know I've got, like, six tables or something. But to be honest, other times it's easier for me. I'll look at your face, and I'm like, okay, you were the medium-rare cheeseburger with no onion, lettuce, tomato, and sweet potato fries. Like,
see, maybe
I
it just
can
doesn't
remember
click
it
in
better.
My head how that's easier for anybody on the earth. But maybe it is, though. Maybe it is easier for
you. But listen, your memory, you just named off all these.
I did do that.
Right? Like, maybe it's a brain thing.
Could be.
But that would irk me, too, if they weren't writing it down. In my defense, I don't think, unless somebody didn't say something, I've gotten something wrong when I haven't written it down. They maybe just didn't say anything, though. So I could be guilty of it.
I'm acutely aware that when you're going out to a restaurant, sometimes things are not going to go well. Like, they're going to cook something wrong. They're going to forget something. Like, there will be times in which that happens. And, I'm not saying that I enjoy that part of it, but it doesn't really bother me that much. I'll just either sit there and eat it, or I'll be like, hey, by the way, I asked for such and such. No big deal. Just get it to me when you can. Like, I understand that that's going to happen at some point, but I do have a little less patience for it when something wrong happens and you haven't written it down.
Sure.
I will say that.
So it's all solved by just writing it down.
Yeah.
And it's much easier than that. So don't try to be a tough guy or girl and say, I've got all this and figure it out. Because obviously you talk about a table of five people. Some of that table is going to order tea. Like, I like unsweet tea but without the tea. I mean, so there's all stuff you got to figure out when you go back to the kitchen to do that. It's not like, all right, I need five cheeseburgers with fries and they all are drinking Diet Coke, by the way. Boom. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, I want a cheeseburger. Hold the patty.
Right.
So you want a grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's always sometimes, hey, when you go with somebody to eat and they're just so demanding with their food.
Yeah.
God, I love my mother more than anything ever, but she was like that. It was just demanding. Like, with her bacon, had to be a certain way. I'm like, Mom, nobody cooks it that way. And it was just a big, huge thing. By the way, a funny thing with my mom, we used to go, we loved Chinese buffets, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we'd go like two or three times a week. One time my mom took cookies, like four cookies off the buffet, right, and put them in her purse and she back to work. And so we went up to pay and this lady's like, no, no. And she's screaming at me and I'm like, what? She's like, no, she stole cookies. And mom's like, I didn't. And I said, Mom, did you steal cookies? She's like, I didn't. Open her purse, four cookies in there. I'm like, what in the hell are you doing? Mom, I'll buy you cookies at Kroger.
Can't she take them? It's a buffet.
It's like but we were leaving.
So
they were not,
not a big fan of the to-go buffet.
But to have this little 5-foot woman scream no at me and the whole restaurant turn around was something I'll never forget.
I would imagine.
No.
So.
Not a big tough guy then, Big Joe. Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on. I thought I did something wrong. So note to self, don't steal cookies at a Chinese buffet because they will find you.
Yep, no question about it. This has been the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com and Outkick 360. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.